Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates Podcast, the podcast where we go through primates in popular culture from chimpan A to chimpan Z. So that's why we do that, because we say Z in Australia instead of Z, where that makes more sense. So it's pretty funny right off the top. Saran Jayamana, who's my guest this week, he's enjoying it very quietly over there.
Because you're never really sure when you should start talking.
No, you should, and now is not the time, Saran.
that was my mistake.
It was a poor instinct there. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
I can talk now?
Yeah, you can talk
now. Okay, that's all right. That's good. No, thanks for having me.
Whenever I'm holding my fist in the air, that's a go. It's so good to have you, Saran.
No, it's good to be here.
One of my favourite comedians from around Australia.
That's very nice.
We've had some great shows through regional areas.
It's been fun, yeah. I haven't done a whole lot of regional gigs. You introduced me to.
Yeah, I'm a man of the country.
Yeah.
I like to take people back to my roots, my regional roots.
So, I enjoyed it.
So nice to have you there.
I've not stopped since.
No. Don't stop, can't stop, won't stop.
That's it.
We always ask this on this podcast. What is your favorite primate?
I quickly Google, because I wanted to make an informed choice. I think I'm going to go with the slow loris.
Slow loris.
Yeah.
Please tell me.
Because
more.
I feel like loris is a slow to begin with.
Right.
But this one, it's in the title, so it's got a. So they're really doubling down on the speed.
It's kind of brutal. Like, I mean, they've had no say in that. That's a human name for them, right? So it feels like it's sort of.
Yeah, that's true. Bullying, a really. Human has come up with that name.
Yeah. Do you think that's true, or did they name themselves?
You've put your hand back up so I can talk again.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe they did come up with it because they've sort of got time to contemplate.
Right.
And they thought, you know what, this is, I'm tired of just being called the loris. Doesn't really get across what I'm about.
I like all those sort of things, like adding the extra. There's, you know, there's great apes and there's lesser apes.
Yeah.
They're not so great apes.
Is there? Oh, there's in between category.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that's a nicer way of
saying. Great apes.
Lesser
apes.
We're still apes.
I might be making that up. There may not be any such thing as.
But is it primates? That means number one.
Number one. Yeah. Number one banana. That's right.
Yeah.
Humans, of course, being primates. Did you know this? We're the only primates who speak English.
Okay, so then it was definitely humans that came up with slow loris, I'd say.
Apart from actually the primate we're focusing on today, who does speak English, who have you chosen to talk about today?
Bolo.
Bolo from the Mighty Boosh.
From the Mighty Boosh.
In particular, the episode called Bolo.
Called Bolo, his own centerpiece episode. He's a gorilla. So have you had a gorilla as a favorite primate?
No, I haven't had a gorilla as yet. There's been apes. Well, I haven't all been apes. We've had a monkey as well.
So
Marcel
apes
from Friends.
Yes.
But so that you got apes on one side and you got monkeys on the other. That's sort of the biggest divide, is what I've found.
Sure.
But it's monkey seems to be used as a sort of catch-all.
Yep, for...
And it was in this episode when they went to Monkey Hell, even though Monkey Hell is led by an ape.
An ape.
So very confusing stuff. So... I mean, Mighty Boosh, if you're going to delve into the high art world of primates,
get it
bloody right, would you?
Have the facts ironed out.
But monkey, I know monkey just is a funnier word, I guess. So the IMDb description, very brief description of this episode says, Bolo is deadly ill, and when the Grim Reaper comes to take him to hell, Howard, in Bolo's cage in a gorilla suit.
You've balked
on. I've confused myself with how I've hit syllables there.
I thought,
made sense?
That was reading well.
So the Grim Reaper takes him instead. So so the Mighty Boosh is the two main guys.
Howard Moon. Vince Noir.
Vince Noir. And who's your favourite of the two?
I think Howard. I've always liked the
straight deadpan. Yeah, I'm the same. Yeah. I'm a Howard man. I'm nearly always a straight man.
Yeah.
Lano,
yeah.
Like Frank Woolley is so funny as well, but I always just was more attracted
comedically to the way Lano. It's come out. If I were ever in a duo, I feel like I wouldn't be doing the antics.
Yes. You are straight as a bloody die. Yeah. And as I understand it, dies are very straight.
They are.
I don't know what that means.
Can't get straighter. I've not heard it before.
Straight as a die?
Yeah. It's
probably not a real saying then.
Or because maybe...
I'm always only seconds away from self-doubt.
Yeah, me
too.
It
doesn't take me a lot to go, have I made...
Sayings and nursery rhymes. Yeah.
Telling people about a show I watched as a kid and they're like, never heard of it. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I watched that show as a kid. Oh no, what have I done? So yeah, so these the way they always start their episodes, at least in the early seasons, I haven't watched it in a while, they would do like a fourth wall breaking, although
it's kind of like in front of the curtain.
In front of a curtain.
In front of the red curtain before the show.
Barrel the camera, talk to the audience about what was to come. Bit of back and forth. I always find that like a rehearsed and written banter to be a really difficult thing to pull off. But I think they do it quite well.
Yeah.
If you ever watch like an awards ceremony where two people have hardly had anything to do with each other come out to present an award, that's always the worst.
Yeah. And they usually, often they're actors, so you'd think they could
exactly
at least pull it off. But it feels like they're reading the script there.
Which I'm not saying they're the worst. I personally like, you know, that full body cringe where I feel so awkward about everything.
You don't have to pull back on that. You've just had a moment of self doubt there.
I didn't mean to offend Hollywood actors. That's the last thing I'm here to do. So how was the primate portrayed? Like physically, how's it done?
So Bolo is a character who I guess his presence in the Mighty Boosh kind of grows over the season. But there's no really clear why he's around at the start, other than it's set in a zoo. But I guess that's
a Zooniverse.
That's a perfect reason to have it.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure he was a character in their radio series as well. But yeah, I don't know how they wrote him into that. But yeah, he's just always he's sort of Naboo's sidekick.
Yeah, eventually he becomes Naboo's sidekick, right? I think.
Oh, but it doesn't start off that way.
I think just here he's just in the zoo.
Yeah, right.
And he's just very good friends with Vince and then a little bit.
How old would you guess him to be?
That's a good question.
I just read this just before.
I wouldn't have no idea. But looking at him, he was on his deathbed. So I'd say he'd have to be the average age of a life expectancy of an ape. Well, I'd say 46.
Pretty close, yeah. He's in his 40s, I think 42.
Oh, there you go.
But that was, yeah. But apparently in the radio series, he was 100.
Okay, yeah,
so
right.
So there's a couple of different, I don't know what canon is. I think the TV age is probably canon.
Yeah, or even the live shows.
Yeah, right. That overrules all.
Canon's so interesting. Where does it, like the live show is where it all started. I think.
Right, yeah. We won a Barry Award at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Like, must have been 10 years ago or more.
Oh,
it would have been more than that. Yeah, 15.
15, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they don't come out ever, do they?
No, I don't think they don't perform heaps together anymore. So beyond those two, who's your favourite, Boosh? I think it's still Howard for me. I think he's my favourite on the show. I think people like in other episodes, like, you know...
Old Greg.
Old Greg's class. That's iconic. Or the moon.
The moon, yeah. I think Howard's... my favourite moments are Howard moments.
So I guess we should explain the show.
That's true. Yeah.
So Howard Moon, because Bolo was sick, he was getting treatment. Rich Fulcher's character,
Bob Fossil,
It's like
also a good character. Yeah,
very good character. He's like, we can't leave the gorilla cage empty. So he asked Howard Moon to play the role.
To stand in as the gorilla.
Which he didn't want. He's like, no way. And then he got him with a bit of reverse psychology. You couldn't act it anyway. You'd be no good.
The old bait
and
switch.
The old bait and switch. Classic maneuver in the Zooniverse. And that got him in there. So when the Grim Reaper, whose name is something funnier than that, like Greg Reaper or something, comes to take away Bolo, mistakenly takes away Howard Moon.
Yeah, and just takes assumes. Him to
Monkey Hell.
They're heading to Monkey Hell, but unfortunately, Howard makes it known that he's actually not a primate or a monkey. And so then they have to wait in limbo. And wait for some administrative decision making.
And a lot of fun Cockney humour issues.
How's your Pauline? So for some reason, it's like a cab service, is it?
Yeah.
The Grim Reapers have a cab service where they transport people from there to whichever hell or heaven they have to go to.
Yeah, and I guess they're all of them, inclusive.
And they're all married to Pauline.
Yeah, which is good fun. I'm sure there's a joke that I'm not getting there, but it's fun anyway.
I enjoyed it.
There was some fun bone-related humor. Skeleton, we're running on a skeleton crew.
Very good.
Yeah. I mean, this is all tongue-in-cheek inside the world.
Of Limbo. Of which Limbo. Is inside the world of the Zooniverse, or in the same world as the Zooniverse.
So then it gets, if he ends up being taken.
It was a good instinct, I think, to try explain it, but I feel like
we made it more confusing, if anything. Yeah. I'm sure people will watch it if they need to. Anyway, he ends up in Monkey Hell, gets one last wish, basically, and that is to go back to haunt Vince, and he does that. And then he says to Vince, he's going to Vince, please, you got to get me back. You got to bring me back. You got to do something right. And he goes, they're sending me to Monkey Hell, and I don't need that. That was my favorite line of the show. Yeah. I don't need that. that's. I don't want to give away the ending, but bloody hell, it's a big finale.
It is. Yeah, I think a lot of the episodes traditionally will end with some sort of musical number or a big
How do you think that's dated? I checked the time a couple times during that.
Oh, yeah. I did see, because when you put your mouse over the time, you can sort of see whether the image changes. So you're like, is there anything to come after?
It's just a couple of minutes of song. Yeah, all right. Well, let's hear the ape rock opera, you know. But they do have some of this music I remember very fondly, but that one, I don't know.
Yeah, it was. But I think this is the early episode, right, maybe?
Yeah, this is episode 3, season 1.
Yeah.
So very early on.
But Bolo's pretty impressive. That's just a man in a suit.
I think it is a man in a suit. This guy called Peter Elliott played him, apparently. I did some Googling before, and I went down. Obviously, someone else played him later, because I found out all about this other guy called Dave Brown, who ends up playing Bolo, I suppose, who's also a childhood friend, early friend of Noel Fielding, who plays Vince Noir.
Okay.
They met at uni. So I got some stuff on him, but that not to be relevant. we're watching the credits. I'm like, oh, there's no Dave Brown in here. Surely the guy who played Bolo in the episode called Bolo would have made it into the credits.
At one point, I think you were so desperate to look for Dave Brown when in the credits it said animatronics.
Yeah,
or something.
I'm like, could that be him?
What do you think that means?
I'm like catering. I mean, maybe he was doing a couple of jobs. But the guy who actually played him was this guy called Peter Elliott. And I've just looked him up on IMDb, and his filmography is amazing.
It's
especially
incredible.
For a show like this, Primates.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would have played more apes on screen.
Mostly for a show like this, Primates.
Yes. So he's played Khan in Planet of the Apes video game. From last year.
He's still working.
In 2013's Tarzan, he was played the leader of the gorilla family, and also some other miscellaneous ape friends. He played Chimp in Red Dwarf. I don't even know if that is an actual chimp or just if he plays a human, he's
make sure he's named a primate name. He played in Hello Panda, a short film. He played Gorilla, which I reckon is probably some sort of gorilla. He actually had some other roles in The Mighty Boosh, including Ivan the Russian Bear and Chi-Chi the Panda. So he does have some range.
He has some range. Is it Boosh kind of at the start of this career, or has he got...
It goes well. So Boosh should be mid-career. I'm working backwards through his career.
And in terms of the typecast, is it post-Boosh that he's been typecast as a primate?
No.
Oh, really?
No, his career long.
So likely he landed the role of Bolo.
Yes, as a specialist, I reckon.
Okay.
Now I'd probably go to the guy who plays Caesar, and, you know, he does all the...
Yeah.
Stop. No, what is the motion capture? Mocap, as industry types call it. Not me, but some do. Various hominids in Walking with Cavemen. He plays Monkey Cries in A Monkey's Tale. Gorilla performer in Fierce Creatures. He plays Assassimon. Which I guess is like
it's probably a type of primate.
Yeah.
That's my favorite primate.
In Congo, he plays gorilla. Oh, I mean, I think people get the idea. In Missing Link, he plays Man-Ape. This was early on when he was transitioning from man to ape. That was a key role.
The link is quite clear, actually.
Yes.
It's not missing at all, we've found.
And also, like, he was in Gorillas in the Mist, he played a mime artist. So he started working as a human in gorilla movies, then a man ape.
He was close. He was trying to find his calling.
Yes.
He was close. Something about this feels right. But
he also played a wheeler in Return to Oz, which is like the flying monkeys.
Yeah, this is amazing. Is that one of his earliest roles?
That is one of his. That's 1985.
Return to Oz. Yeah. So it's been close on 35 years of clocking in it as primate.
Yeah, his first primate role was in The Legend of Tarzan, Lord of the Apes. He played primate father, Silverbeard. And that was in 1984.
So I guess in 1984, that was just maybe a little hook he had. He's like, well, maybe I'll make this my thing for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it's just a foot in the door.
Unlikely to be typecast. What are the odds there will be enough movies and TV shows that even need a primate?
Turns out an entire career sustaining.
Yeah.
Amount.
Oh, well, anyway.
I'm glad to see that Peter Elliott's still working today, because I think it should be a goal of yours to...
Yes. I want to...
Talk to him.
I want to talk to him. And there's a picture on his IMDb that has a sort of a cross-section of an ape head he's used and the sort of mechanics behind it. So he's in there and there's actual, like, obviously...
Is this Bolo?
Yeah, it could. It does look a bit Bolo-y, but potentially he is actually...
He's controlling.
Making the mouth move himself, because we weren't sure about that watching it.
There is a credit for animatronics.
Yes.
But that's crazy if they... That seems like the budget... When everything else on that show seems real pared back and deliberately lo-fi.
Like the hedgehog costume in the credits where it's like a bike helmet with some plastic spikes on top.
Yeah.
And what looks like sort of foam rings taped to his eyes. They do love a certain aesthetic.
I tried very hard to identify how the hedgehog-iness of that.
Yeah, guess it was just the spikes on the helmet.
Yeah.
But I think I'm glad you discovered him, Soren. You only mentioned it must have been Peter Elliott, and he's got to be like the patron saint of this podcast now, I think. Peter Elliott, what a bloody legend. The other guy who goes on to play him later, Dave Brown, so he's also a photographer and he's put on exhibitions about the Mighty Boosh. Apparently he's taken over 10,000 photos of the Mighty Boosh over the years, and he's had some exhibitions around the place. I like this. I mean, barely relevant now, but he plays Bolo at some point, right? And I like this. On this website, blogandbuysale.com, they asked him a few questions. I think the website is about selling things online and blogging.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. They asked him, have you ever sold anything online? Because that's sort of what the website's about. And he said, no. So they also asked him, do you have any advice for young creatives trying to get into the industry? And I think this was good. He said, listen, don't think you know it all. Leave your ego at the door. I mean, he doesn't even know this person. This sort of person out there somewhere is reading. He's just pegged him early as an egomaniac. He says, make tea and always strive to have ideas behind your work. Ideas are timeless. There's a lot going on in one sentence there. So
he's being interviewed for
blog and buy sale.
And he's just Are there a lot of sort of prospective egos creatives
and blogging and buying?
Yeah,
it's a bloody cutthroat ego maniac industry for sure, no doubt about that.
And so he's a photographer as well.
He's a photographer, yeah.
So has he played any other primates? That's his main gig,
design and photography and stuff. Yeah, he helped design the Mighty Boosh book. So he did a lot of work on that and DVD cover art and all those sort of things as well.
But he never got caught down the primate role.
No, he didn't.
It's too hard. You can't edge Peter Elliott.
No, that's right. I think that's when he would have made the decision. He's like, I'm stepping into the big, you know, gorilla shoes. I don't feel worthy. I'll keep them warm, but obviously the great ape will be back.
Yeah. I am a lesser ape.
I'm a lesser ape. I've got to look that up. I think I'm saying that wrong. Anyway, he also said, so this guy that's not relevant to the show, Dave Brown, this is what he said about Julian and Noel. He said, Julian is more intense than Noel, who is very light and breezy. So obviously Julian is Howard Moon's actor. Noel is Vince Noir's. Julian is more intense than Noel, who is very light and breezy. Noel wants to have a good time and be everyone's friend. He's always happy to pose for the camera. Obviously, he's seen it through his lens, his particular lens, which is a camera lens. He says, Julian is a lovely guy. He starts to backpedal here a little bit. Julian is a lovely guy, but people often get a cold feeling from him. He doesn't like having his photo taken, so tries to talk and eat his way through sessions. And then he complains when he looks terrible. So he's got a little bit of dirty dirty laundry there. Yeah. This is from a different article. I was about to say this is from Blog and Buy sale. Now we're on The Guardian. So this is.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's got a wider circulation.
More visible, I think.
That's a.
Obviously, not in the Blog and Buy community.
Yeah.
I think Blog and Buy sale is has a much bigger circulation in that particular community. But The Guardian, obviously, in the broader community has probably a bigger circulation. Apparently, according to this article, and this is a few years old now, this is about 4 or 5 years old, but I didn't realize this, Barrett's, he sort of like they, after the show and then some touring, they sort of went in their separate ways a little bit. They sort of, they never broke up, but they don't do as much together anymore.
But even, and Noel Fielding, I now remember he came to Australia.
Yes.
Independently.
And he also, you see him a lot more on shows like Buddy, you know, all those, like,
Would I Lie
all
to
those
you,
English
kind of
panel shows
yeah,
that seem basically like the same show.
Yeah.
The one about music and the one about lying, which I quite liked. So apparently he had young twins, Arthur and Walter, great names. And says here, Fielding has never tired of being a cool man about town. With his stack-heeled boots and natural flamboyance, Fielding appears to be several decades late for an audition with Sweet, which I think was a glam band. But Brown remembers their first day at college. So we're back to Brown.
Oh, yeah.
This is a quote from Brown. Noel wore a baggy check shirt, had long hair, and looked like Evan Dando, Lemonheads. Remember the Lemonheads?
The interesting thing about this is like he actually fits the role of – they all fit – the role they've been given. Like Noel Fielding, the way he describes him is exactly Vince Noir. The way he describes Julian Barrett is Howard Moon. And then he's like childhood friends with Noel Fielding. It's very Bolo-like.
Yeah, they get on much better.
And he's already judging Howard.
Which is, Bolo really doesn't like Howard. So it's what something he says when he thinks he's dying, Bolo. He goes, when I'm gone, find Howard and slap him in the face.
I think that was my favorite moment of this episode was when it's a bit of a spoiler, but when he is mistaken, the heartfelt music plays and he says his final words.
that is very good. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Draws the sheet over his head. What are you doing? Oh, sorry. I thought we lost you.
I was kind of watching you because I know that you've got a sort of affection for Caesar. And where this all kicked off, right?
Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Yeah, that's where it all came from. That's where
you were
my
willing
rise.
to forgive the grammatical sort of.
Yeah, I that's something I think about a bit. It's like very rarely would it, you know, if you told me 10 years ago, even a year ago, if you told me you're gonna start loving a series of movies, a trilogy, that amongst the three movies, there are five of others in the titles. In a series of three movies, there are five of others. Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and oh, bloody hell. I didn't like the third one as much, admittedly.
But the third one obviously
war
only
for
has...
the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, okay.
War for the Planet of the Apes.
They could have gone War of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. That would have made me feel a little better.
Six. Now. Yeah, keep it consistent.
Unless they're weaning us off.
You can't go cold turkey.
No.
Especially for Planet of the Apes. Like,
yeah, the brand is Planet of the Apes, yeah. Right?
So at least one of that is core.
Honestly, when I downloaded that first movie, I'm like, I need a light movie. I'm feeling fragile. I'm tired. I'm not sleeping well. I just need a dumb Hollywood blockbuster. And I'm like, well, this is it.
Yeah.
Rise of the Planet of the
Apes. And so when we're watching Bolo in Mighty Boosh, and maybe it's because Peter Elliott portrays him in such a realistic manner, but I could tell you there was a tinge of sadness, I think.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. I mean... I genuinely, in the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, I cried twice. I was not expecting to cry in a movie with two others in the title, but, you know, that's how it ended up. Shall I finish this quote? It's very fascinating. So it's
please do so.
Later Bolo actor Dave Brown talking about when he met Noel Fielding. Looked like Evan Dando. We were both obsessed with Pearl Jam and Nirvana. I looked equally pathetically awful. We were both comedy train spotters. He's thrown him under the bus there as well. I can't really.
Like, I
picture.
Looked equally awful.
Yeah. So he's thrown multiple people under the bus there, including Evan Dando, Noel Fielding, and himself. He's been in Noel Fielding's luxury comedy show, which is a show from, I think it was started around 2012, maybe.
Yeah.
A few characters in that. So he certainly wasn't typecast as a primate. He's played. Geometric Boxfish, Fantasy Block, Jeremy Beautiful Chest, and Mountain. They're
okay,
all
great.
Sort of quintessentially Booshian sounding characters.
It's hard to kind of judge an actor when most of their work is with Noel Fielding, because it's like you're likely just going to be Mountain.
Yeah, lots of gibberish sort of sounding things.
Mr. Susan is that I remember from when I was maybe like in year 10 or something.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
My friends and I love just quoting, look at them shining.
Look at my mirror balls. Yeah. That bit's for the kids.
Yeah.
That's going to be quoted on in the schoolyard for
that,
sure.
Yeah. And then that was
my mirror balls. It's a little bit of Uncle Greg in that character as well.
That's what I was thinking, the origins of. And Mr. Susan is another example of they've obviously put all the budget into Bolo.
Yeah. Yeah, just a rag. Like
Susan, yeah, rags.
Rags sewn together. Look at them shine. That is a very funny scene. The world of
the mirror. Yeah.
Very, very funny.
There are over 17 mirrors.
It's not a world, though, really, is it? It's a small room. Like I always said, room. But they make mirrors make it look bigger. I think people are tuning in to hear some of the best jokes butchered by me. I think that's why people tune in for sure.
I did enjoy how Bob Fossil refers to Bolo, like when he's because he doesn't know how to pronounce the animal.
I really enjoy how he talks about the animals. Yeah. In general. He talked in a future episode, I think, or maybe a previous one. He talks about kangaroos in a similar sort of way. Brown fur, furry face man.
Little brown man, furry, hairy feet man. Little
feet man. Here's some trivia from the Mighty Boosh Wikia page for this episode. You know, the Pete who's smoking the shisha or whatever with
Naboo.
how, you know, how they mention he works at Dixon's?
Yeah.
And they talk about some bargains and stuff. He's played by Peter Caracciao, who actually did work at Dixon's at one point.
Oh, wow.
Which is good fun. So I reckon some of that chat was genuine stuff. Do you know much about the Bush, how they did it? Because some of that stuff feels like fun riffs, but maybe it is all written out. I wondered that.
That's a good question. I don't know. But their stage show, when I saw Noel Fielding's one, it felt like it was more scripted than improvised.
I imagine. I always thought it was relatively tight, but just watching it today, I was like, oh, that's...
It would be hard for Howard, unless he could be a brilliant improviser.
There might, yeah, and there may be little, you know, there may be framework that they're working inside of.
Yeah.
Like that scene where they were talking about him being, like the rumors of him being, him becoming the fox.
Yeah.
I'm like, obviously they haven't just riffed onto this fox scenario because they've got a, fox there ready to go, you know. Maybe there was a fox there and that did come off that. I'm sure, I wish there was some way we could find out, like some sort of a search engine. I'm just saying weird words here, but like some sort of internet search engine.
Something even more specific, like a fan wikia or something.
But not to be. Anyway, back to the Mighty Boosh wikia page. This is something I noticed myself, actually. Howard's coffin has VIP written instead of RIP.
Yeah, I noticed that too. But because then it's kind of contrary, I thought, to Heather, because he's not very important. So it's quite funny.
Yeah.
They all, at the funeral, like they go, oh, Bob Fossil says, we're here to celebrate the life of Howard Moon. And then the father and son just leave.
that's another very funny little moment.
Now I feel like... The challenge with this podcast is I just am repeating the jokes.
Yes. And you're leading, I reckon. I reckon you've got one up on me. So Bolo has been played by those two actors, Peter Elliott and Dave Brown. That's official. That's now canon.
Good.
That I've said it.
It's canon.
That's Primates canon.
I had to Google it while we were watching, but they're in Monkey Hell. Nemo and I forget the other name of the... They were like the two sidekicks or henchmen of the great ape. I wanted to know what type of primate they are. And I found it out.
Yes.
They've got like the red and blue stripe face. They're mandrills.
Mandrills. I think that might be Alistair Tremblay-Birchall's favorite
there you go.
Primate.
Because I thought about maybe I'll jump over to mandrills.
Oh, he did the same thing. Lauren. He jumped from orangutan to mandrill. How do you say orangutan?
Orangutan. Orangutan.
Yeah, right.
Not, are you saying, because do some people add a G at the end?
I have, and I can never remember which one's which. Orangutan. Sounds fine.
Oh, so you take the G out.
Take the G out and put it at the end.
Orangutan.
Or just add an extra G.
Orangutan.
I mean, these are fun games you can play at home. So,
But you know, it's like a, I'm pretty sure it's Malay words.
Right.
Orang.
Two words.
Orang means person and utan means jungle.
Jungle person. Oh, wow. So when people say ranga, you're really just saying person.
Yeah.
Or jungle. Jungly. I take both of those as a compliment. Ranga being the... Is that a universal...
It's very Australian, I think.
Is it Australian? Yeah. So it's Australian...
I don't even know if down, it's British.
Sometimes it can come off as a... It's normally is meant as a mean thing, I think, for
red-headed
people.
Yeah, it sort of has pejorative.
Piss off, ranger. You know, that you might hear. Yeah, pejorative is a good word. Yeah. A very good word. Thank you. So here's a little bit of Bolo's backstory that we didn't hear about in the show. He was a gorilla, obviously, and he grew up in the jungle with his friend Chinquo before going to live in the Zooniverse, where he became good friends with Vince. And they found they could speak to each other, obviously. He was stolen by Dixon Bainbridge to be mutilated and converted into a new mutant. Oh, that was another episode.
I think this is
full biography. I don't want to go on to further spoilers. This is a retroactive spoiler alert.
We sort of alluded to them slowly as we're...
Yes.
They've all been retroactive.
So this talks about his age, right? Bolo is very wise and old, at the age of 100, according to the radio series, or 42, according to series 3, but is also very strong and will defend Vincent Naboo in any situation where strength is needed. Jeez, Howard was conspicuous in his absence in that sentence. Bolo is also very aggressive, getting cross at people who are mean to him or people he knows, as well as when he cut off his friend Chinquo's head due to Chinquo being irresponsible.
That description's, it's funny how he's very old, either 100 or 42. It's a big range.
It is a very big range.
He's 42. What's your average primate or gorilla life expectancy?
Let me find that out.
This is why people are tuning in to primates.
Gorilla life expectancy.
For the facts.
What do you reckon it would be? Have a guess. You looked straight at the screen.
Because that's...
What are you, like, I mean, don't cheat to my face in this game I've just created.
Well, because they're placing 42 as old.
Yes.
100, very old, obviously. But so I'm going to say it's less than 42. I'm going to say it's probably in the range of 35 to 40.
Holy moly. That is exactly precisely the correct answer according to Google search.
I didn't know. It's come up very big there. I couldn't help that.
What do you reckon? All right. Without looking, oldest gorilla ever. What do you reckon?
So 35 to 40 was expectancy.
Yeah.
So oldest ever, I'm going to say 61.
55.
Oh.
Not bad. You're pretty good at this game, even when you don't cheat. So maybe try to keep that in mind next time. And you play again. Oh, and...
what was his name?
The oldest one. That was Jenny, who lived in Dallas Zoo in Texas.
So, yeah, they're only keeping track of the
ones that's true.
In
There's
captivity.
No... I mean, they're... Unless... I mean, the wild gorillas are harder to keep track of their age.
There is the census.
It's not like the tree thing where you cut a limb open and count the rings. I don't think that's a thing. And there is no census.
Yeah, and there's no, even if the gorilla's died, there's no one knows to alert the authorities
if a gorilla dies
to come cut the limb. Yeah.
Does it, and no one's around, does it?
Get an autopsy.
Does it get an autopsy? That's one of those things that helps me sleep at night somehow. I just find it really comforting to know that
if
unknown. Schrodinger's autopsy, that's what.
Let's can we do one more so that I can test if I actually have a score?
Okay, great.
Maybe I am the Peter Elliott. What he is to playing primates, I am to guessing the
ages. In certain scenarios.
So mandrills in captivity. Are there any mandrills in captivity? Do you ever see them in zoos?
No, but I'm pretty sure. I think the mandrill is sort of the leader in The Lion King. Obviously.
Yeah, that's right. That's
the overall leader.
Yeah. So oft depicted in popular culture.
Mandrill. You want to know mandrill average life expectancy? Average lifespan?
I want to know if I innately know.
They're an amazing looking animal.
Well, I don't want to look at the screen, so you're tempting me.
Are you going to have a guess?
I'm going to say, I feel like gorillas will live longer. I don't know what I'm basing that on. I'm going to say 35, 20.
No, this is going to break your heart. 20 years in the wild,
Oh, that's tragic.
Which suggests they would live either longer or shorter in captivity. Probably longer, I'd say.
Because I figured... I feel like mandrills, are they aggressive? Are they like killing each other?
Yeah, I think they can be aggressive.
There's a lot of mandrill on mandrill crime, which drags down.
Yeah, mandrill on mandrill action. Yeah. They're just amazing looking. Do they have red butts as well?
Are they your new favorite? Red butts is baboons, I believe.
Right. I'm not going to call a favorite for a little while. I'm taking people's advice and I'm learning as I go.
And are there key factors? Is life expectancy going to come into the...
No, not necessarily, because maybe. Lesser ape. Do you want to know who a lesser ape is, according to Britannica?
Yeah, sure.
It includes gibbons. Gibbons are lesser apes.
Gibbons are the... So I would have put them in the monkey category.
Gibbons?
But I don't know why I would be trying to categorize. I don't have any authority.
The way I generally... No, they're apes. Gibbons are apes. They do. Yeah, you'd think they are, but I think as a general rule, a monkey's got a tail and an ape doesn't.
Oh.
I think that's the easiest rule of thumb. There's probably exceptions. There normally are exceptions.
So that's why we're apes, are you saying? No, we're primates, but we're not.
Yeah, we're primates. We're Homo erectus or something, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Homo sapiens.
Homo sapiens.
I think Homo erectus,
they came before us, yeah.
Didn't realize it was your turn, babe. little quote from Austin Powers. How dare you break wind before me? This isn't mic check. If you're looking for your, obviously, your Mike Myers-related podcast, mic check is the hot tip.
There's a place to go, yeah.
In no small part inspired this podcast. It really showed me what's possible in the podcasting world. It's one of my favorite podcasts. You should check that out if you haven't. It's all about... I was actually on an episode a while back. We talked about an episode of Gong Show. Imagine you've done an episode of the Mic Check pod.
I haven't, but well, tell your story.
That's it.
Oh, okay.
That's it. It was a good story, and I thought it was well told, and I appreciate that feedback. No, there's also this other one I found, another term I enjoyed was New World monkeys and Old World monkeys.
I did see that when I was researching.
Fascinating as well. So the New World is the majority of them are the New World monkeys.
And is it New World in terms of geography? Because like funnel web spiders, for instance, are like... Old world spiders.
Right. So it's according to Wikipedia.
Like they're less evolved.
A very trusted resource.
Definitely.
Someone once told me that it's got more correct information than an encyclopedia because it's kept up to date.
Oh.
As a percentage. So New World monkeys come from tropical regions of Central and South America and Mexico.
Yeah, so New World.
So it is, right.
It is a geographical.
Old world.
Perhaps Africa, maybe?
Native to Africa and Asia. The olive baboon is another beautiful. It's not so far off the mandrill. It's like a mandrill without the colourful. Colour.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh, these are some... Holy moly. Look at that one. There's so many I haven't even come across before. Black-footed grey langur.
Oh, my God.
I love the new world. I love the old world.
That's why you're doing a show about primates.
Well, I'm a real beginner. You got to understand this. Until recently... If I hadn't fallen in love with Caesar from Rise of the Planet of the Apes, then, and if John Lithgow wasn't there to guide me through.
That's true. None of this would have happened.
None of this would have happened.
You found a passion, perhaps in the same way Peter Elliott found.
Yes. Certainly.
It's a chicken or the egg question. Did he have the skills already, or did he find them through the fortune of casting?
Look, honestly, I don't know, but all I do know is
you'll get to the
bottom of it. He would have portrayed a beautiful chicken. And a magnificent egg.
Yeah.
If given the chance. And that's all I ask of him is to have that chance. What we do normally to come to some sort of a conclusion in our episodes here at Primate Podcast Industries is we talk about, you know, so chimpanzees apparently share about 98% DNA with humans. And I like to ask the guests, this really confused Alistair. Others have got on board. So we're not looking at, don't think about DNA. Alistair really got bogged down in the DNA. But how much do you think Bolo shares percentage-wise with you as a human? And it may be broader as humanity. How much?
Sure, that's very interesting.
How much do you relate as a percentage of your DNA as related via Bolo from the Mighty Boosh?
I felt, I'd say it's the high 70s, I reckon. 77, I'm going to say. 77%.
It's a beautiful number.
Physically, there's not a lot going on similar between the two of us. Bolo's quite an imposing stature. He's a gorilla.
He's a gorilla. He's built like a bloody gorilla. Yeah. Similar to, obviously.
A lot hairier.
Well, that's what you don't realize about Peter Elliott. I've never seen a photo of him, but he is a huge hulking man.
He's playing all sorts of. He's got
no, that's true.
He's variety in the primates. Yeah.
He's got so much range. New world, old world.
Are those wheelers, are they big in Return of Oz?
I think they're relatively small. Yeah. How does he do that? Maybe it's perspective. Maybe he does all his scenes from 50 yards away.
Yeah. Chimp in Red Dwarf, is it?
Yeah, Chimp in Red Dwarf. You go through all the names.
He's one of the greats.
You name me a role from any show of any genre, any kind of character. Don't limit it to primates, but if you just name one
role.
Yeah. And I'll let you know if Peter Elliott played them or not.
Okay. Hamlet from the BBC.
No.
No.
I was really hoping you were going to say Manape from Missing Link. He definitely played that one. But yeah, sorry, Hamlet.
Yeah.
Not as yet. Or at least, you know, IMDb, about, how, I don't know how up to date.
How about Mime Artist?
In... Okay, let me have a look. Mime Artist. Yes, he has played at least one Mime Artist.
That's amazing. Yep. So he has got range.
He's got big range. Don't you worry about that. So you reckon about
77%?
77%. I'd say, I feel like, I would have said, I reckon I'm somewhere around that as well. Mid-70s. I would have been higher, but he really hates Howard Moon, and I can't relate to that.
That was it. I've
taken percentage points off for that.
I find Vince Noir annoying sometimes.
Yeah.
But they have a bond that I don't think I would share.
He's very, like, no doubt Vince Noir is a very funny character, but yeah, I'm with Howard Moon all the way.
I think so. And Bolo, but like the human emotion aspect, I think that's shared.
Yes.
Just where it's directed is exactly the issue.
All right, well, that's great. That's so good to talk about that. We also have a segment, and I've got a little sting now, I think, which I'll probably add in now. Huh? That was pretty good. What do you think about that? I may well not. And then, you know, either way, I think it's good fun.
That's just been said. That's great.
Yeah. But we do, this segment's called Primate Sporting Mascots. And I haven't been doing it long, but I'm already running lowish on them. It turns out there aren't that many around. But this week we're featuring a team in the National Premier Soccer League, which is about the fourth level pro soccer league in the United States of America, and a team called Atlanta Silverbacks FC.
Oh, are they gorillas?
They're gorillas, gorillas, exactly. They were previously the Atlanta Ruckus, but apparently in 1998, they had a press conference at the Atlanta Zoo and announced that the team was going to be named the Atlanta Silverbacks in honor of Willie B, who was a silverback gorilla, who was the big attraction at the Atlanta Zoo.
I'm so glad that it wasn't one of their players.
certainly not. Willie B, no, he was a silverback gorilla.
Just the number one fan, ticket holder.
He died not long after, unfortunately, Willie B.
Okay. Was there any significance of Willie B?
I think, you know, the American zoo culture, I don't know if it's... I think they call anything a zoo over there. There's some pretty loose... I've seen some stuff that it's like, oh, this is someone's backyard. They're calling this a zoo. This is... You've got a couple of caged animals.
Could have been just a person.
But I think Atlanta Zoo was a legit zoo, and he was the star attraction there.
Great.
And a great guy by all accounts.
But only... I guess it makes sense. Is this... You said the fourth league.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He didn't, you know, he didn't need to check his ego at the door because he was a humble beast. Willie B. Rest in peace. But they love him. I found this tweet from a couple of years ago from the Atlanta Silverbacks FC at ATLS Ilverbacks. I think you could connect that S if you wanted to make it ATL Silverbacks, but that's up to
already
you.
Already taken, probably.
Their tweet reads, "We assume there's no mascot of the year category because everyone already knows who'd take the prize." And they got a little photo there.
Wow. They're sassed. That's great social media. Very similar to, because we were talking about the AFL social media at one point, just socially.
Socially, yes.
And the misalignment, but it's probably just a kid that's been hired by a lot of these teams to do the digital marketing.
Yeah, and they're often they read like they probably don't follow. Like I know the Saints
team not really keeping track of the scores. Yeah.
I think that like it depends. It feels like it's maybe they've either been told to stay relentlessly positive despite our season being like a bit of a nightmare this year, or they're just like, you know, it's just a game. Let's post happy things all the time. Nice. Effort from whatever. And they're like, all the responses are like, please don't post a saner of the day today. We do not deserve, none of them played well enough to be praised.
We shouldn't encourage any of this.
But it also just don't take out your anger on the social media people. Somehow they're thinking it means anything at all. It's just a photo on Instagram. Don't worry about it.
But I like this. I like a bit of sass from the Atlanta.
I do, yeah. I think that's the fun thing about you've got to, like, if you're in any sort of large corporation, the standard is so you know, the expected standard of humor is so much lower. You just have to be a little bit sassy, anything like that, and it's just like, this is great. Yes. And the bigger and more conservative you are as a brand, the easier it is for you to get love for being a little bit
just
silly.
Yeah, the shock, the going against the expectations.
I love their logo. They do have the red, white, and black colors of the Saints, and their mascot is
very Bolo-esque.
The drawn mascot on their logo is awesome. Mascot is, I mean, it's, is that, what is that?
There's a big discrepancy between the logo and the...
Yeah, I don't think I'm seeing a gorilla in that. That just looks like, you know, cartoon monkey.
If you put some spikes on the top, it could be a hedgehog.
That's right. Bushian. The gorilla outfit that they put Howard Moon in was scary. It was like that sort of early 1900s kind of costume where I can only associate it with like horror movies or something. Yeah, There's something real spooky about it. It was horrific. I don't often use that word.
Doctor Whovian kind of.
Yeah, which is why I hated Doctor Who as a kid. I'm like, it's so cheap and creepy looking. And that holds up. I still believe that. But, I mean, the modern ones have got a bit more money behind them. I've never gone back, but yeah, I just, as a kid, I'm like, this is wild. I don't like it. And it's funny how being low budget makes some of those things actually freakier.
Even, yeah, yeah.
Especially to a kid, sensitive young kid from me, from country Victoria, who doesn't know any of these big city London, you know, cheap technologies of the day.
And then you see it was like a leathery kind of, the Howard Moon.
Stitched gorilla. Up. It almost looked like a Mike Myers from the Halloween movies kind of mask.
Yeah.
Only in ape fit.
I was wondering, though, the Mighty Boosh logo, it looks similar. Is it the...
I always assumed that was...
some sort of ape primate.
Yeah.
Or then today I was going to comment on it and I looked at it again. I was like, maybe it's a GIMP mask. But right. I don't think so, because Howard, when he's... replacing Bolo. It looks similar.
Yeah, what is it? Well, shall we look that up as we close out the show?
There should be
surely
something
that's
on the wikia. No answers.
It feels like that should be an easily Googleable thing. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So, I'd love to say thank you so much for coming in today, Saran.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a real pleasure to have you here on Primates. As a primate, official primate, that's canon now. Which is the thing people say when they talk about movies.
Yeah.
Obviously, as a big movie fan that I am, that's how I talk as well.
I like to, if I do a joke that bombs, I just like to let people know that it's not a canon joke.
It's not canon. Yeah, that joke's not canon. How can people find you on the internet or wherever?
On Facebook and Instagram, at Saran Comedy.
Comedy in the name, I like that.
Yep.
Strong. Did you see Luca Muller's tweet? He said something like, picturing people having to take comedy out of their Instagram and Twitter handles when they give up on comedy is making me cum.
Great.
Then I very recently changed my Instagram thing to Matt Stewart Comedy, and I'm like, oh, God. I don't want to make Luca cum. It's the only thing that's going to make me stick with comedy till my death, or his.
Yeah. Once he carks it, you can relax.
Yeah.
Or is at an age where it's just not functioning? The biology's messed up.
That's right. One of the two. So they can find you there, Saran Comedy.
Yep. Or also have a website with details of shows and stuff, which is just www.sarenjayamana.com, but requires a working knowledge of the spelling.
Which I'll have in the description of this episode.
There you go.
I would definitely recommend seeing Saran if you get the chance. He's a very funny man. And if you want to track me down online, I'm on Twitter at @MattStew_art and also Matt Stewart Comedy on Facebook and Instagram, and my website is mattstewartcomedy.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hit me up on any of those things if you have any ideas for the show. Obviously, it's still growing organically early. Obviously, it's a pretty slick operation, as you've heard once again this week. But if you have any ideas that you'd like me to incorporate in the show, please hit me up. So anyway, thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you again next week. Laters.
Bye.
The
podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.